Thank you for taking the time, Maria. I know you're probably really busy these days.
For some strange reason.
You're only trying to save the Republic. What? That's all you.
It's all good.
That's all you have on your plate. Well,
When
listen.
you're called by God, you do what he says. So this is the path he has me on. I'm good with it.
Well, this is terrific, and we're all very happy that this is taking place. Just to kind of set the stage here, because I'm getting some emails. There are a lot of they're in the minority, to be sure, but there are a lot of people who are saying things like, "Well, you know, what's really going to come of this? It's too little, too late." That kind of thing. We're raging against the wind. Just to kind of refocus everyone's attention, from evidence that you've gathered and you've been able to see, is there any doubt in your mind that our election was interfered with and that Donald Trump actually won this election?
There's no doubt in my mind Donald Trump won far bigger than people even know.
And now that we understand that, I think it's important to take a step back for a moment and discuss how we got to this point, because just as important as what happened on November 3rd is the lead up to November 3rd. This has been in the works for years. This was planned and orchestrated years in advance by the Obama administration. Is that right?
Fantastic question, because there were underpinnings, and we at Nations in Action were actually told 4 years prior to the election that Georgia, Florida, Arizona, and Maryland were going to be the top four targeted states by the Soros network. And that Soros network is really important for people to understand and identify and know who they are in their community, because they've embedded to unravel everything that America stands for, and even calling the Constitution a fictional document. So that movement was really brilliant. Shore up their base and infiltrate their opponents. And the infiltration was done through policy and purchase. The policy changes that would get people weak-kneed or put them on defense. So they came out very proactive, and then they hired Republican Party activists, Tea Party activists, to move their agenda forward, which I did not see that coming, that people would actually, for lack of a better word, sell out and push National Popular Vote and other leftist agenda items. But Georgia is the best state to look at how well they not only hired people, they then sent all the state committee members and key influencers on the Republican side on extravagant trips to the Ritz-Carlton to get them out of town while the candidate for governor came in and did the voter registration drives.
So
It was brilliant.
did they know at the time, or did they find out later on that this is what happened, and what was their reaction?
Oh, they're still covering their tracks because they're guilty, and no one wants to fess up what really happened. So the truth about Georgia would really inform the world about how the takedown of one of the most Republican congressional districts, the 7th congressional district, was taken down. The 6th and 7th were two of the most conservative in the nation. And I actually lived in those districts, and I can tell you, when Kevin McCarthy says he didn't lose any seats in Congress, it is a bold-faced lie. The 7th district is now held by a Democrat for the first time that I can recall.
So the foundation for this operation has been planned for years, and you say the Obama administration funded it with nearly $400 million that was originally earmarked for Iran.
We have received information that 14 pallets of cash were diverted from the Iranian funds for him, and we will continue to investigate that and are looking for more people to come forward. We've been very blessed to have a lot of people provide intelligence and information to us. We're very excited about some recent news we've received also. And
Terrific.
so, as that information continues to evolve and get investigated, we want to make sure America and the world knows the truth.
So if that turns out to be true, then that 400 million, that was meant to be basically for lack of a better way to, or maybe it's the perfect way to put it, a slush fund to kind of battle the Trump presidency.
That is the information that we were given. Yes.
And now we hear so much about Italy. Link University in Rome is where this Joseph Mifsud was working at the time. And he's the one who told the Trump campaign about Hillary Clinton and the dirt that the Russians had on him, that kind of stuff. And now we have Italygate. Why are so much of these activities seemingly coming out of Italy?
Well, do not forget that Barack Obama's last official state dinner was with Matteo Renzi, the
right.
former prime minister.
Right.
And so that leads into the whole pathway of why China also has infiltrated Italy.
Right.
Italy is a key strategic partner for Mediterranean access. And so the Chinese influence in and the Five-Star Party growing overnight in 2018, we've been told that the machines were actually used there the first time to influence that election, where they were able to dominate and put Giuseppe Conte in power as prime minister.
Right.
Now, as you've seen, since we've unfolded this information and let it out of what took place in Italy, the government fell and Conte was forced to resign. Renzi's scrambling, and we are very much calling for truth out of Italy.
Right. And so you're saying that the growth of the Five Star Movement, that's no coincidence at all.
No, the Chinese have been very masterful at infiltrating their fabric industries and other industries and trying to get control of ports in Italy. And, you know, if I were Italians, and I have family there, my grandparents are from there on my dad's side, you know, my heart breaks because they might as well hang it up if they keep getting corrupt politicians who are giving in to China, because they'll be speaking Chinese in no time.
Well, I was thinking about this earlier today. The outbreak of COVID, Milan in Italy was one of the worst hit areas in the world, and that people are surmising that's because of the close interaction and the frequent travel between areas in China and areas in Italy and Milan.
Exactly right. And it was one of the first cities to really get hit in Europe, and so in the world. And everyone has to understand the strong Chinese dominance in Italy. They have come in, they are loud and proud, they're working their plan, and they have a need for key assets. And so they're coming in and taking them. And same thing that they did in America with the unraveling of our manufacturing facilities and undercutting pricing in pharmaceuticals. So when you look at their overall tactical requirements and how they will say, okay, America, you're funding this drug at a dollar a pill, we're going to come in at 10 cents a pill and literally crush that company.
Right.
To where they can no longer exist.
Right.
And that then gives them complete domination, and then they can skyrocket the pricing in pharmaceuticals.
And so they gain a foothold with parties like the Five Star Movement and how they kind of explode on the scene. Just to kind of draw an analogy, it would kind of be like, I don't even know, maybe the Green Party. If we suddenly woke up tomorrow and the Green Party controlled a third of Congress, we would find that rather peculiar, wouldn't we?
Yes, you would find that peculiar, and you'd find it very peculiar that the U.S. Embassy employees love eating at the Chinese restaurants that are all over Rome now.
Yeah. Well, so Italy is not the only country, and I find this interesting because you talk a lot about it. Italy is not the only country to be involved in what happened on November 3rd. Talk to me a little bit about Alexander Nix and how you came to know him and what his role is in all this.
That's a very interesting story everybody should be looking at. Back in the 2015 timeframe for the 2016 presidential election, Alexander Nix was running a company called Cambridge Analytica.
Right.
Now, people overseas very well know Alexander Nix, have sent me screenshots with his cell phone number. I know that they know him, and they have confirmed to us that he is MI6.
Mm.
So understanding that he is considered as MI6 we all should be asking for an investigation on that piece alone, because somehow he was able to infiltrate with Facebook, and there have been subsequent lawsuits and punishments both to Facebook and to Next about his involvement. Right. And so everybody should be looking at this and understanding what happened in America in 2016 and how did Alexander Nix influence the election or try to start developing this system to influence the election. And from what I'm hearing from folks abroad, the amount of votes Donald Trump got against Joe Biden were so mammoth, it was hard for the bad guys to come in and switch enough votes. I believe they grossly underestimated him in 2016, and they thought Hillary could win, and then they doubled down and had to really beef up the system to beat him in 2020. That's the way it it has shaped up.
And you actually met Alexander Nix, is that right?
I did. I was in a couple meetings with him, a Skype meeting and in-person meeting in New York, and was learning about what he was calling was his system with Cambridge Analytica and how it influenced elections. And he, at the time, told me he only had 111 data points, and I said, well, Karl Rove claims he's got 300 and something, so tell me why your system is better. And so I put him a bit on the defensive, but I couldn't understand why he was claiming to have a technology that would be very useful in elections. So I was there learning about this technology and very much scratching my head wondering, you think you have something, but I can't tell that you really do. Showing all your cards.
Did you prod him into inadvertently into doing all this?
I'd like to believe I didn't, but I certainly was saying your system looks very inferior and not capable of doing anything that you claim it does. My team, my chief operating officer, and mainly my chief technology officer, was on the call and was less than impressed.
Now, he purportedly was working for Donald Trump, well, not directly for him, but he was working with the Trump campaign in 2016. Did he all of a sudden switch allegiance this time around? Or I guess these people are, in the end of the day, are only aligned with themselves first and foremost.
My understanding is actually that he was working in 2016 on the Cruz campaign, and then was transferred over into the Trump campaign for the general. But I would suspect, now in retrospect, hearing and seeing what we've seen in Italy, I have no doubt he was infiltrating the Cruz campaign and then infiltrated the Trump campaign for 2016. In retrospect, I have no doubt of that.
It's all about collecting data.
Collecting data and influencing the votes, because it was his goal to use the system to influence people's reaction on how they would perceive a candidate and therefore how they would vote.
It's all about swaying votes ever so subtly, psychologically.
They actually said that they were going to target people based on their personality traits, and that's why the deal with Facebook was so important to them, and that you could take a narcissist and literally play to that side of them to explain why they should vote a certain way. So now when I look at that, it was troubling to me back then, and now I look at it and I say, why was he in Leonardo's president's office after the election?
Yeah.
Why was he involved? And this Mr. Krebs should be answering. Why was he involved as a foreigner in some of our intel meetings? I was told as late as October of 2020 for U.S. intelligence on election security. He was in those meetings. Well, he was orchestrating the takedown, from what we've been told and seen in Italy, and he even went from the president of Leonardo's office to the jail in Naples to meet with the prosecutor and judge to go check on the guy that we knew did the data switch that they had arrested under a false pretense of hacking. If Alexander Nix goes to meet with someone, you cannot convince me Arturo Delio, the guy who actually claims to have done the data switch, that there is no reason Alexander Nix would know Arturo Delio or have a reason to go see him in jail or visit the people who are holding him.
That really tells us a lot, doesn't it?
So when people ask about proof, number one, Arturo Delio put a deposition to a judge, two, as a matter of fact, but one of them was being held by the judge. Number two, he was arrested under a false pretense so they could, quote unquote, keep him contained. Number three, we know the satellites keep a digital footprint, so the military, our U.S. government, who has supplied hundreds of millions of dollars, just roughly $250 million just in October in a contract alone, to Leonardo, a foreign defense contractor who conducted a cyber warfare against America. This is cyber war. Cyber warfare, it's a national security issue. Right. And so we know that satellite was used. So based on that information from Arturo Delio, that satellite should be checked for the digital footprint. We know from the photos and intercepts that that occurred from what we were told about. Now, we have not seen the intercepts or listened to intercepts, but we have received a couple photos. So I would have no way to have gotten this information, this photo, from anyone else. And so you look at Leonardo in the president's meetings with General Graziano and the guy in the embassy, Stefan Serafini.
Right.
And all three met at this hotel. So when you start to build all that link analysis, you're going, hold on a second. So then we have the cell phone number, satellite phone numbers of Graziano when the go order was given. So when you ask me, am I sure that this happened? Absolutely, 100%.
Well, I don't know if it would surprise you to hear. I don't know if you saw the article that we recently put up where Stefano Serafini actually graduated with an advanced degree in cybersecurity not 2 or 3 years ago, 2017. So I guess 3 years ago, 3 years plus now. And that kind of struck me as odd as a foreign service officer getting an advanced degree in cybersecurity.
Yeah, quite peculiar, isn't it?
It is.
I would like to know who made sure he did that.
Right, and who okayed it. And especially if you're planning on retiring. And by the way, I mean, I've reached out to the State Department repeatedly, as I've mentioned to you before. And it's to the point now where I don't even want to comment on the story. I just want confirmation that there's an employee named Stefano Serafini who either A, still works there or does not work there. And they refuse to answer that question. And so I think that tells us everything we need to know.
Because they would say, no, he doesn't work here if he didn't, or no, he retired, which, oh, by the way, we were told he retired a day or two before the election, a few days before, to make sure he wouldn't lose his pension if caught.
Yeah. Well, we're...
So your point's dead on about why would you go train a soon-to-be retiring employee in cyber, anything cyber, when he's about to retire. You don't invest in the guys that are on their way out the door.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Now, I heard you mention, speaking of characters from the past, I heard you mention on a recent broadcast that Steve Bannon reached out to you, but he was less than cooperative. That struck me as rather disappointing.
Let me clarify. He never reached out to me, and I'm not sure he knows how to. I know strangers know how to find me, because they do.
Right.
But I will tell you that somebody had reached us that said they had asked Steve Bannon to get engaged and that he said no. So I hope that people call Steve and interview him and ask him, because I think he could be a great wealth of knowledge, both in his time in Italy in 2018 of what he witnessed and why the Five-Star Party suddenly won, and get his expertise on that. Number two, I think it would be great to understand his relationship with Renzi and Conte. And number three, how much interaction does he have with Alexander Nix, and was he involved with Nix in those elections in Italy, and what can he tell us about his involvement in 2016, because he did go, he was both in the Cruz and Trump camps, so what was his involvement with Nix in all those meetings, because he was in the meeting I was in with Nix.
Steve Bannon was.
Yes, he was.
Mm.
In New York.
Well, Steve Bannon, I mean, there, and this is, you know, there have been plenty of reports published on this. Steve Bannon worked very closely with Nix and Cambridge Analytica in 2016.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. And then, of course, so we touched on Italy, and we touched on the UK. And then, of course, there's this strange news coming out of Switzerland, where they apparently own the source code of Seidel voter software, but they banned it from their elections because in their analysis they found that votes could be swished and not leave a trace. And then apparently they just kind of sat back and watched us use it in the 2020 election. That struck me as rather odd.
We did receive a massive amount of information out of Switzerland on the Seidel ownership and ability to sway votes and change votes against the will of the electorate, and that they had refused to use the technology. And we must not forget that even Senator Amy Klobuchar also had grave concerns about the Dominion services capability of their computer systems. So the fact that an Amy Klobuchar, someone of her talent and skill set, would say the same thing about Dominion as what Switzerland leadership said about Seidel should give everybody a huge alarm that was already underway and taking place and should have been stopped.
That's exactly right. Well, I just want to ask you, Maria, and understanding that details, there are certain details that you're probably not ready to divulge right now. If you can just give us an update on where things stand right now and what's next for the case, what would you have us know?
I would say it's important to understand that this is an ongoing operation. Yeah. There are still pieces of information coming. We recently received the identity of a key person that will be investigated thoroughly. And it's been fascinating to watch great Americans and foreigners who have come forward to help us solve this mystery, because it's very evident the theft occurred. It's very evident
right.
where it occurred.
Right.
And now the question is, who is willing to come forward and tell the truth, and who is running, ducking, hiding, and covering it up?
Right.
And so our job at Nations in Action is to provide that truth and transparency to everybody. So as we keep unraveling the mystery, we will continue to speak out and provide the data for everybody to see.
Well, I like what you say when you say that the truth is coming out. So if you have any evidence, come clean, because it's all going to come out anyway. I don't think truer words have ever been spoken.
It is absolutely unequivocally coming out. Things are starting to spiral. The walls are falling in on them, and they're scrambling. And that's why they're doing an impeachment charade, because they know Donald Trump is really president. It's unconstitutional and no standing to do an impeachment if he wasn't president. It's because they know he's president that
yeah.
they have to do it to take him down.
And to that end, before we let you go here, the last time we spoke, you said the number one thing people can do to help, because I'm also getting emails and messages from people who are saying, I want to get involved, I want to volunteer, what do I do? The last time we spoke, you said have them call their legislators and tell them to recall their electors. Would you like to add anything to that call to action?
Yes, volunteer at nationsinaction.org, where we will be giving out specific tasks and getting feedback. And today I received feedback from a gentleman who reached out to Congressman Barry Loudermilk about the receipt of the affidavit on January 6th.
Oh,
and
terrific.
He told me what their staff said. And so now we're able to take it to the next level. And that communication back and forth with our team about the tactics and who's saying what and how, it's important for us to help build and solve the problem where legislators, especially at the state level, seem to be very concerned about calling a special session or doing the proper investigations, or they're not sure what type of investigation to do, and they're unaware of the information. So helping us get the word out, sharing our website with all the links to all the videos and information would help educate the elected officials. And I think it's really critical that every legislator be mandated to read every affidavit from their state about the corruption and fraud that occurred in their election cycle.
Right.
And the affidavits that are in the lawsuits as well, because basically that is a submission of a violation of the law.
That's exactly right. It always stuns me when people say there's no evidence. There's only about 3,000 or 4,000 signed sworn affidavits saying that there was election fraud. If that's not evidence, I'm not sure what is.
Yeah, there's not a shortage of evidence in this case. There's a shortage of, sadly,
courage.
There's a lack of willingness to explore. As one person said to me today, Maria, everyone knows something happened in Italy, but if they acknowledge that, they're going to have to do something about it.
That's exactly
how
right.
Tragic.
How
is that? We are called to have courage and faith and stand up for what is truthful and right. And if this is how they want America to be viewed in the future, that we cower to such a small group of people who did this, this is not bigger than God, and it's not bigger than Americans. Americans are stronger and more resilient. And anyone who cowers at this stage does not belong in America, because that is not who we are as a people.
Absolutely right. Well, you and your team are becoming a shining example of courage and resilience. And I just want to thank you again for taking the time and for everything you guys are doing. And hopefully we can contribute in some small way.
Well, thank you, Mike. Anytime you need us, you let us know.
Will do. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Beth.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.